Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone, and happy Friday. I am Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where, let's be honest, we are all keeping each other going. And yet, the well of things, she never runs dry.
How is that?
I don't know.
How does that happen?
This is honestly, I got to say, like, this is why I became a journalist and have stayed a journalist, because people are just endlessly interesting. The world is endlessly fascinating.
And we have access to the wellspring of things without being able to go out into the world to find it, implying that the wellspring is not located in the world.
Right. Which is good news.
Inside us the whole time.
The things were in. I'm going to stop there. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit of a that's what she said.
The real
moment.
Things are the friends you make along the way. All right.
There you go. We never have to leave the house, guys. Good news.
I was gonna do a sort of a take on the LA Times columnist who had berated people for not dressing up on camera, but then I found. I'm not saying we can't. I tweeted something snotty about, like, yeah, Angelinos, and stop liking tacos too. Like, you know, you with your sportswear. But apparently this is gone beyond Los Angeles. Nordstrom Trunk Club surveyed 2,000 Americans on how they've been navigating getting dressed, and especially on the legs, it's casual.
On the legs.
I'm trying to find the exact percentage here, but there was a differentiation between people who are like, oh yeah, I'll put on a dress shirt because I'm on the video conference, but I'm definitely sweatpants below.
Reports have shown recent surges in sweatpants sales, but you're totally right. Like, this is the Los Angeles kind of West Coast casual just reaching all of us, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
well, great.
Anybody who doesn't know, it was a thing that I was like, is that really true? And then I moved to Los Angeles. I'm like, oh yeah, no, it's really true. People in Los Angeles just wear workout clothes in all kinds of situations. Whether or not they're going to work out or have worked out or whatever, you just see people walking around in not exactly loungewear, workout wear, but lounge-ish wear.
Yep. This article is hysterical. It's literally like, you're right, Tom. It's literally like business on top, party on the bottom. The most common apparel for professionals is work-appropriate top, but casual bottoms.
Yeah.
AKA undie pants.
Over half the group is getting dressed as if leaving home in the morning, though. So it's not overwhelming. It's a split happening.
You know, why are they?
Four out of five women in the group said that practice makes them feel more productive. And 95% said it put them in a more positive mood.
I can totally see that. 55% say they are dressing up to feel good.
Not to impress anybody. It just makes them feel better.
And actually, incredibly, even though I work from home, I and have for years now, and never, I mean, I could not be bothered, right? Like, no, I'm not working in my pajamas. I'm not going to say never, but
rarely.
But I at least migrate from like robe to yoga pants. But even I have been like, get it together, woman, put a little makeup on. And I think it's just the sheer duration, because usually I'll work from home for a couple months, but then go on a trip. Or go to the office or go to a conference and have a reason to put on some clothes and makeup. And so I think because that hasn't been happening, I'm basically just like,
I'm of two minds about this, because I think that LA Times column that I was talking about was over the top, right? Like, one hand, I'm like, you don't need to put on a suit if you're just sitting down on a video conference. Come on. Like, that's a little ridiculous. If you want, I'm not against it if you want to, but I don't think you need to. But on the other hand, I think there is something to the idea that if you are working from home, as someone who also has been working from home for years, you will feel less like you're blending home and work. It's less stressful to say, ah, I'm putting on my work clothes, and I also recommend having a separate area. At least that's what works for me. And I'm going to work. So I'm wearing work things and I'm working over here. And then, because if I have sweatpants on, I don't feel like I'm at work. I feel like I'm half at work. So yeah, there is no a psychological thing to that. But I'm wearing jeans. I'm not putting on a tie. It's still very casual. It's just different, right?
Yeah. I just love this idea that there's like the work shirt and the sweatpants. That makes perfect sense.
I love that. Yeah. That should become what I'm wondering is how much of this carries over when everybody ends up going back to the office. And they're just like, I'm still wearing the sweatpants. I don't care. It's too comfortable.
Among all of the things that I hope people discover from this, let it be the case that pants with buttons just go away forever.
Oh, yeah.
I literally can't even be bothered. Like, my man friend was like, you don't wear jeans that often. I was like, yeah, because why would I do that? They're the worst.
Or zippers, too.
Zippers.
Yeah, just pants that you can just put on and you don't have to negotiate anything with them.
Yeah, no, this like firm, painful fabric situation. Like, just no, you don't have to do that anymore. It's going to be the Los Angelesification of all the attire. And I love it. My slippers, by the way, my mule slippers, couldn't be more, like, could not be more LA casual. And I wear them everywhere.
Maybe it's loffication.
Loffication. Oh, I like that. That's much easier to say.
You can even do la loffication.
Oh, I love that. That's
There we go.
That's brilliant. And it is totally true that this is going to influence fashion trends for years. Don't you think?
I want to do something for the people who absolutely abhor this trend. So naming it something they can easily pick on will help them.
Oh, you're right. And just to make it like a little bit hateful, but also awesome. Yeah. Lalification.
Done.
There you go. You're welcome, everyone. My next thing is such a thing that it is almost ambient at this point, but I've had it on the bullpen for so long that I just mostly want to acknowledge it.
Mm.
Because frankly, it's delightful. The sidewalk chalk.
I think we talked about it in the pre-show maybe one time.
We talked about how we weren't going to talk about it because we were afraid we would cry.
but yeah, like in the first days of the lockdown, there were some like tear-jerking sidewalk art, like "Hello, I miss you" to their kids, to their friends. There was even one day that I'm not going to go look up the words because I will cry, but it was basically like, "Hi neighbors, once this is all over, I really can't wait to have you." I'm starting to cry already, but it hasn't gone away. There's new chalk art. The one on my near me right now is a series of instructions. It starts by saying "follow our instructions," and then you walk like 10 paces and it'll be like "stand on one leg" and then walk backwards and like all this fun stuff for kids to do.
Oh, that is incredible. Yeah, I think that's why, yes, it's ambient and yes, you're seeing it everywhere, and there are people who are of course like overachieving on the sidewalk chalk art by doing those in fact the sub version of this thing is the people who are doing the taped off designs.
Oh wow. Like,
they're using blue painter's tape in most cases to create these like really geometric designs, chalk them in, and then pull up the tape. And so then you have this like super cool like stained glass window effect.
That's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen a fair bit of that and it is really incredible. But it also is like, it's just this like incredible communication thing, and it's really sweet and it's really adorable. And there was even an article about how like some, Karens in Oakland were complaining about this lady's sidewalk art because it was like too much. It's like, it's the new, spray painted mural. I don't even know.
I do wonder what the politics of it are, because I'm like, okay, a lot of the sidewalk art seems to be closer to this one house. And I'm like, I bet those are the kids that are leading the sidewalk art movement in this area. And then there's one house that's never participating in the other stuff, but just has like really messy drawings. And I'm like, those kids are just having fun. They're just like, sidewalk chalk. Great.
And it makes perfectly. Yeah. Like, I don't think that it should necessarily. Now there are contests, actually. There are art contests for it. And there's like really incredible drawings and this and that. But yeah, the best ones are the ones where clearly people were just like, how do I enter entertain my child, and send a message to people walking by. And there's been spin-offs. There's there's like a rainbow movement where you create a rainbow inside in your window, and I'm going to tear up too. It's actually really
the stuffed animal thing, the stuffed animal hunt. It's kind of along those same lines.
Yeah. And it really, like, it just is kind of, it's just one of those, this is like classic thing too, because it was just sort of wonderfully spontaneous and everybody was like, oh yeah, that seems great. Yeah.
I Instagrammed the first few times that I ran across that sidewalk chalk. Cause I was like, this is humanity fighting back, basically, is what it felt like.
It really is. And humanity's need to, like, oh God, I'm going to cry.
Yeah. Right. Hey, you know, you probably just need to chill out. throw on some lo-fi beats.
Do I? Are we doing that? You mean lo-fi like bad sound?
Yeah. so lo-fi hip-hop is a particular use of not bad sound, but like a kind of anti-hi-fi. Like it doesn't have all of the clean sound of like a really highly engineered stuff. And I'm probably not doing it a good service, but it has a long history. It goes back into the 90s of saying, you know what, there's a kind of an analog movement that it parallels it and they cross over from time to time. Yeah. But it's all about like, let's just make simple music. And it's usually expressed, at least lo-fi hip hop is usually like as sort of chill stuff, really, really mellow stuff. We talked on this show before about the channel that has the person studying, you know, and writing that people were using at work to focus. Mm-hmm. That is the most popular of these. But now everybody's doing it. That was Chilled Cow. We talked about Chilled Cow. Chilled Cow added 340,000 subscribers in March.
Really?
Yeah. Lo-fi live stream channels are seeing a major bump on this Verge article. Daily views of videos with hashtag with me in the title have increased by 600% since March 15th.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it's cook with me, you know, work with me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Which is, that's so interesting. But so the point of the lo-fi live stream is just to like have something that doesn't distract. It's meant to be background. It seems like.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it doesn't have like, you know, heavy distracting sounds. It doesn't have a lot of lyrics, if any at all. So it's good for, you know, just focusing, but also very calming.
Right. Fascinating. I'm so interested in what people are discovering. Wait, I'm describing our show, but the things that people discover that they need at a time like this and the tools that we have to deliver it are so interesting. Like just this idea that you'd be like, yeah, just, you know, turns out a lo-fi stream is like relaxing, calming, and a place to come together and have some group therapy. Who knew? Yay, yeah. Internet.
The College Music launched a stream called Lo-Fi Beats to Quarantine and Stay Indoors Too.
Oh, amazing.
And yeah, I think this is something where a lot of people are already doing this because of all the same reasons. Like, I just need to focus. I need to not be distracted. I need to stay calm around work. But now everybody feels that way. So many more people feel that way.
Oh my gosh. I like can't wait to just fire this up. One thing I am finding, I accidentally fired up a video. So sorry, I closed it. Just as a side note, I have a couple of times in the last couple of weeks had someone mention to me that a thing was happening on television. Like, oh, the networks had a big concert or Zoom concert or something. Or like CBS did a big Prince tribute.
Uh-huh.
And I each time was like, oh, I'm and I mean, I should caveat this by saying I'm old. Right. So I'm not like
relative
in the generation
that
would
only be
streaming.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I'm not a Zoomer. But both times I was like, oh, I'm actually watching the Club Quarantine Prince tribute on Instagram. Or the other time was just like, oh, I'm streaming some show that's been around for a while that like I couldn't be less aware of what is happening on network television. And there just seems to be this because the options have always been many. but they're so much cooler.
Yeah. Well, did you watch any of that One World at Home thing that was
That's actually the thing I'm talking about.
That wasn't just on broadcast networks. That was on Apple TV Plus. It was on YouTube. It was on Twitch. Like, I'm surprised you could avoid it because it was on every single platform, streaming or broadcast, that you could think of. And what's funny is, like, I was interested because I'm like, oh, I guess everybody's going to be watching this thing. I want to see what happens. So I put it on using Hulu, I think. And my wife was just like, yeah, okay. You know, I guess. Yeah. Like, just not excited. And it is one of those things that if this had happened in 1985, everybody would have been glued to the television to watch this big television event. It's interesting.
Right, right. Yeah, I it is interesting. Like, there's so many things to do, and yet there's enough people to fill all those rooms, I guess. Anyway, I can't wait to do this. I'm going to, like, make a bunch of masks tonight and, like, have lo-fi music on to concentrate.
Yeah. That and Club Quarantine. Those are the two big musical pushes in our house.
Dude, I mean, Club Quarantine is absolutely delightful. And I'm so happy that now Instagram launched live streams. Like, pro tip, now you can do an Instagram live stream in a browser on a computer.
Right.
Because the biggest problem with those live streams is you want to text your friends the whole time, but you can't. You got to go back and forth.
Hey, Quibi, pay attention.
Fixed it. Oh, yeah. Are you trying Quibi?
Well, of course I tried Quibi. It's my job.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, why would I continue to use Quibi if I didn't have to? So
that's what I figured you might say.
I would. I do have to say that my wife's team is making a great show called Fresh Daily on Quibi. Go watch it.
Definitely do that. A thing I will be making this weekend, and I'm gritting my teeth saying it because I feel like such a cliche, but I am going to make bread. It is not going to be sourdough. It is going to be the bread recipe that I believe is in fact the anti-sourdough.
Oh,
the bread for normals, which is the Mark Bittman no need bread recipe.
Because you no need sourdough.
You no need to deal with sourdough. A growing weird thing in your fridge that has to be fed. No, seriously, I cannot tell you how many times I have sent, received, and seen other people, encouraged other people to send around the recipe for the Mark Bittman no need bread, which I have actually been making for years. Like, this recipe has been around forever. It is, I just would like to tell you guys, it is delicious. Mm-hmm. It is super easy to make. You can make a 24-hour version or a 4-hour version. And you just have yummy bread. And you don't have to feed anything to get there.
Because you just use regular yeast. You don't have to grow your own, right?
You don't have to grow your own yeast. You don't have to, yeah, exactly. Like, you don't have to do the whole, like, crazy sourdough thing. You just make some dang bread with some dang yeast.
And you don't have to
knead
it. You don't have to do all the pushing and stuff, I'm guessing, right? That's in the name.
Yeah. No need. You literally, like, you mix it, you rest it, you let it rise, and then you bake it.
I mean, that just sounds like all the best parts of bread. Without the parts you don't want to have to
deal
with.
And there's not even like a weird baking thing. Like, you, I mean, it's a little, you put a little, ideally, you put a little cornmeal in the bottom of a Dutch oven and you make it in there.
Okay.
The end.
The cornmeal just keeps it from sticking?
Yep. Yeah. Then you can use like other stuff if you want, but cornmeal seems to work the best. Yeah, it's like so yummy. You can make a whole wheat one. Or a white one. And it's funny, actually, because I noticed I finally was just like, this bread is everywhere. Everyone's talking about it. And frankly, the world needs to know that you don't have to do a sourdough starter. You can just make a yummy bread. And if you have that and you have yeast. But I went into the bullpen today to put it in there. And I saw that Rich Struffolino had already put the bread in there. And I was like, oh, nice. Confirmation. It's a thing.
It looks like the bread that you get at restaurants, like the really yummy, like, you know, full of holes, you know, because it's got air in it and it's soft and tasty and crisp on the outside.
Yeah, it's really, really delicious bread. It is. It's like the kind you would dip in like olive oil. Mm-hmm, it's just lovely. So if like you feel like you have to do it, and the only reason I'm going to do it, in fact, I don't even need to because I have a loaf of sourdough in the freezer. But my son really wants clam chowder in a bread bowl.
Ah.
So I'm just going to make this and make two rounds of it.
Oh, yeah. Two bowls.
Two bowls.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting. But so there you go. Like, you don't have to. Also, you can just, turns out you can actually, for the most part now, buy bread at stores. But this bread is delicious. It is worth making. You do not have to sourdough start.
Well, I don't think people are making the bread anymore, but this might have been part at the beginning. They're not making it because they're worried about not being able to buy bread. I think people are just doing it for therapy now.
They just like have time.
Yeah, yeah. They have time, and baking is a thing people do when they stress.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, all the like comfort foods are back and but I feel like it's become, maybe this is just me because I'm having a little bit of a failure complex as the shutdown goes on and the house gets messier and my child gets more and more Lord of the Flies. It's like I feel a little attacked by the sourdough people. Like, I'm just like, who are you? See.
Like, everybody's showing off their sourdough life. And you're like, yeah, I got time for that.
Yeah. And maybe this is like a whole other sub thing, which is like the backlash against the people who seem to have too much time in quarantine, because I do not.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on who you are, right? Like, there's people who have time off on quarantine, but are frightened because they have the time off because they lost their job. There's people who have the time off on quarantine because they're fine. And they don't have to do their job, or the way they do their job is different and it leaves them more time, but they're still getting paid. And those are the people making sourdough. And then there's us, which is like, yeah, we're still working.
Pretty much only.
Yeah.
Like, right. Like, added a show, you know, and I'm not trying to complain.
It's not a complaint. It's obviously we're incredibly thankful, right? But it's not like we can say like, yeah, now with all this time, because nothing's changed. Yeah.
I did not get more time back in my life.
Nope.
Me at either. All. And so the only bread I'm going to make is the delightful no knead bread where you are like hands on for 10 minutes. You put it in the fridge, you let it rise like after either 18 or 4 hours, whatever you want to do. The end.
Well, and I think baking does give you a sense of like accomplishment.
Oh, I love it. That's important. Bake. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm not going to discount baking at all. It is really wonderful. And that's totally why I am excited to make this bread. But guys, I'm just here to tell you, from me to you, a little bit of a hugsies, you can make the easy stuff.
Do it. Do you hear about that mill in England that was just a tourist attraction, and they only kept the mill working to make enough bread to sell in the souvenir shop, and now they're making like the same amount they would normally make in a year in a week because they don't have tourists, and they're like, well, a lot of people need flour, and we can sell it.
So oh my gosh.
It's like a 1,000-year-old mill that's back in full operation.
That is incredible. SCW Lung, this is really smart, says our local brewery just started selling instant yeast and flour.
Oh, yeah.
And nice. So guess who made a beer? That is so smart. There is, I will say, there are some, I'm probably not going to do it, but there have been a bunch of articles on the internet about how you always have yeast. Like, there's not there, you just, the stuff you have around your house, whether it's like fruit or other foods that you can make yeast.
You can find yeast. It's you not can hard. Find yeast. It's like pretty ubiquitous in the ecosystem. I hadn't even thought about that. You're right.
Yeah. That you can actually create it with science in your own home, which actually does sound kind of cool. Like, especially if you have younger kids and you want to do like a fun experiment, that'd be kind of neat.
Well, we do have some things that have been sent in from you folks, feedback at itsathing.me. I'm trying to figure out if I'm missing something here, but I don't think I am. It's recipes for sourdough pancakes.
No.
It doesn't say who it's from.
It does, actually. It's like low down here. It's from, darn it, stupid Google Docs.
There's also Miss Mary Rogers sourdough waffles.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's from Miss Mary Rogers, who says, my husband has been using sourdough for 30 years, which you earned it. Like, that is legit. And then sent us a bunch of recipes for sourdough pancakes.
The cell to the left, but the cell to the left is not showing up at the top of the cell. I've changed that. And now it says, Molly, my husband has been using sourdough. Okay. Yeah. Now I see it. Okay.
So we don't know who it is. I'm assuming maybe it's Miss Mary Rogers, but I'm not really sure because there's definitely not a name there. You know, Google Docs is just the worst. Can we just agree on that? Just, and here we are, nigh on near 20 years later, 15 years later, still using it for podcast rundowns.
And this was a comment on the blog. So thank you for posting that. And thank you for sharing these recipes. They're great.
They actually do look incredible. Look, okay. If you have a sourdough starter, you should make these because they look amazing. The sourdough waffles. Oh my God.
Stephen Crater said, I want to point you to a recent YouTube video by Matt Parker. Also, Alan sent us the same video 18 hours later. He describes a way to play Scrabble remotely and not duplicate letters.
What? Incroyable. Oh my gosh, I want to do that. Can you find one for Pinochle? That would be great. Shannon K wrote in and said that she thought last week's shout out sounded familiar, writing, I can't focus on the shout outs because all I can think of is that the music used in those shout outs is the same music that my husband and I used for the background music in our first iPhone game, Sheep Stacker, back in 2009, no longer available in the App Store. Sorry. It's a small world after all.
Wait, Shannon K knows all the things in the world and has an app history?
And as an app history that also used the music for our marketing generator shout outs. Like Shannon is a nexus.
Yeah, no kidding. Well done. Joe wrote in on the new cuteness, said, hey, friends, as I've been sheltering in place, I've come to realize that my thing spotting skills are not strong enough to see them from the safety of my basement office. With that realization, I want to compliment you guys on your high level thing spotting technique. I never fully realized the power you two have until I myself became a basement dweller. Kudos. One thing I did notice from the security of my basement was an article verifying the poop is cute thing from last December. This article focuses a little too much on the unicorn angle. Remember Squatty Potty? But does touch on the just the right amount of transgressive angle that captures the phenomenon. Keep up the good work. I will endeavor to hone my thing spotting through some mix of Jedi training, web surfing, and Karate Kid montaging so I can keep up. Thanks, Joe.
Amazing. Sometimes you just have to steal from Rich, too.
Yeah, Jeremiah, that's the easy
way. Yeah. Jeremiah wrote in catching up on some episodes. And this is funny because I was scrolling through our blog today and I saw our episode about Shen Yun and I was like, God, remember when people went places?
No, right.
But ironically, also, Jeremiah wrote in and said, I'm catching up. And he says, the Shen Yun thing. I've seen ads for it near another thing you should check out. Dollywood, a huge attraction in East Tennessee. And this is where it gets to the total thingness. Dolly Parton herself seems like she is even more of a thing right now than she has been for years. Definitely a moment in the zeitgeist. Anyway, they've had signs advertising the Shen Yun next to signs for Dollywood and the Dixie Stampede for years because Tennessee is like that sometimes. Also, on your talk about the virtual happy hours, a lot of my fellow D&D nerds are exploring the use of Zoom, Discord, Roll20, and others to have their regular D&D sessions. It's gotten to the point where I'm playing more, not less. Just online. Keep up the good work. You're helping keep me sane in my work from home crazy time.
Oh, that's cool. And yeah,
I love it.
I have been to the gates of Dollywood twice, but I've never been inside.
Oh, man. You know, ironically, Fat Emo Kid, our good old friend.
I saw that.
Yes. Was just tweeting about buying tickets to Dollywood.
I know. That's great.
It's a thing. So yeah, thing.
Dolly Parton, definitely a thing. Good call.
Oh, my God.
Time for some shout outs. Thank you to our producer, Rich Drofolino, who creates these shout outs every week and seems to outdo himself every time. This week's shout outs are in the form of synopses of recent Nicolas Cage films.
Oh, my God. So if you don't know, this is actually a bit of a thing that Nicolas Cage apparently just works constantly and just churns out absurdly terrible movie after absurdly terrible movie. Or, as I like to put it, awesome.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, but I'm a working person and I need to feed myself and my family.
I mean, so wow. Yeah. So I challenge you after these shout outs not to want to watch these movies. Shall we begin?
Let's do. After a meteorite lands on their farm, Gabriel Cohen and her family must battle an extraterrestrial organism as it infects their minds and bodies.
Jake Woods is a respectable businessman and loving father in a peaceful life until his violent past comes back to haunt him. When his teenage daughter is taken from their home, Jake rounds up his old crew to help him find her by any means necessary.
Louis Saint-Amour must fight for his life on a ship when his deadly animals, including a rare white jaguar, are set loose by a dangerous criminal out to kill everyone on board.
In the aftermath of the BP oil spill, New Orleans politician Mike Akins finds his idealistic plans of restoration unraveling as his own life becomes enigmatically contaminated with corruption, scandal, and deceit.
Does not refer to the real Mike Akins. These are fantastic. These are really, really good.
I'm starting with the white jaguar one, just to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one.
If you back at the shout out level at patreon.com/itsathing, you too can be immortalized by Rich Straffolino in our shout out segment. And let me tell you, it's worth every minute. Trust me.
Oh, my goodness. Is it ever. Thank you for listening to It's a Thing. Thanks for everybody who supports the show. We are so grateful. Patreon.com/itsathing is where you can become a member of the show. Thank you. Thank you once again. And of course, email us your things because, let's be honest, best back half of the show in podcasting, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
Feedback at itsathing.me.
We'll talk to you again next time.
Bye.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com.